Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross when Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you. Happy New Year. It's cold outside, but warm in here, and I'm happy to be here with your fellowship. As we begin our service today, just a couple announcements. We've got a lot of meetings coming up, deacons meetings, church council, and then in February, beginning of February, we'll have our business meeting, so be sure to put those on your calendar, plan to stay just a little bit extra if you're part of those, and we invite everyone, members, to attend the business meeting. There will be interesting things to discuss, I'm sure. This afternoon, actually evening, is the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration from Webster Groves. There will be a march from, City Hall to Steger Elementary. You can park at Steger, and beginning at 4 o'clock, there is a shuttle that'll take you to City Hall. It's always very cold for this march, but it's a good time, and there's lots of people to march with. And then after the march back to Steger, there will be a refreshment soup and some food there, and then a celebration beginning at 5:45 for that. So if you are able, it is a good time, and invite you to participate in that as well. Are there other announcements that I'm forgetting to mention? If not, then let's prepare to worship together.
Good morning, Webster Groves.
Good morning.
As always, it is a blessing to spend these Sundays with you all. Happy New Year. We were not together last week because of anticipated bad weather, which I was in Kansas City. I tried to get to Kansas City before the bad weather, and I understand that it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be, but thank you for your patience. And just to make sure everyone understands that when we do those things, we are doing it thinking of the safety of everyone who would be here, who would be traveling. So hopefully you had a day of rest and relaxation and just more time with your family members as well. Dan, I'm sorry because I do have a couple of announcements that I didn't give you, but I appreciate your work as always and those who make the announcements. Our youth are making lunch for our seniors this morning, and I believe it is potato soup, correct? So anyway, our seniors, as usual, when you leave today, please do not leave before you get a bag of goodies for you to take home with you. In addition to that, beginning in February, and there's going to be more information about this in your bulletin, NAMI will be holding a family-to-family training event. A few of our members of the congregation participated in that last year. And if you would like to do it again, or if you have heard good things about it in the past and would like to participate in it this year, the family-to-family training for NAMI will be held here at the church on Wednesday nights, beginning February the 21st, and they will go until May the 9th, and they will be from 6:15 to 9:15 in the evening. And again, starting next week, there will be more information in the bulletins related to that. Let us begin this morning's worship in a spirit of prayer. Please bow with me and let's pray together. God, we say thank you for this day. We appreciate your goodness, your grace, and your kindness. We are thankful, Lord, for life, health, and strength, that we never take that for granted. And we are thankful, Lord, to see a new year that is filled with great potential. A new year that is filled with great opportunity. And we begin this new year with a sense of hope, knowing that you are with us and that you are going to be with us. Lord, as we gather together this morning, we pray, Lord, that all that we offer would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us through your word, through the movement of your Holy Spirit, and that you would prepare us, Lord, for the things that are going to be coming our way in the new year. We have great hopes. We anticipate great things, Lord. But we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us for this journey that we are about to embark on. We are thankful, Lord, for family, for friends, for members of this congregation, because we know that whatever it is that we go through, no matter what we experience in life, Lord, we will not experience it alone. So as we begin this new year, the journey of a new year together, we begin it, Lord, in a spirit of worship, a spirit of thankfulness, and the practice of seeking your face and your guidance. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, not just today, but that you would speak to us clearly and succinctly every day, so that we would know and understand what it is you have for us, that you would have us to do, and that our hearts would be open and willing to follow wherever you send us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join me in the call to worship. From the waters of creation, the earth sprang forth.
From the waters of the womb, God's blessed Son was given to us.
From the waters of a river, people were baptized and marked as God's children.
Praise be to God, whose loving gifts and presence have called us together.
Let us shout our love to God for God's abundant love. Amen.
And now let's sing out of the white pew book. We're going to sing 100, Bless the Lord your God. I'm sorry, nope. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty.
In our praises, as your people
I would ask at this time that our deacons please come forward and help prepare for Lord's Supper for communion. We begin this year, as we do every first Sunday of the month, by participating in the Lord's Supper and communion. And we do this because we want to acknowledge that we recognize the sacrifice that God made, that Christ made on our behalf. We just went through the season of Christmas where we celebrated the birth of the Savior. The fact that God sent the Son and the Son was willing to be born on our behalf, knowing what he would experience and expect in life. And we participate in communion in the Lord's Supper because we recognize, as he did, the sacrifice that was made for us so many years ago upon the tree. That Christ was willing to give his life, that he was willing to have his body broken and bruised as part of a process of restoring our relationship to the Father. We participate in this because we recognize, because we want to express our thankfulness to God, that even when we had not even been born yet, or when we were not thinking about God or our future, God had already made plans for us. Plans to welcome us into the Holy Family. Plans to welcome us into his arms and into everlasting communion. So we will partake of the bread and the juice as a symbol, as a sign of our appreciation for God's love for us and our secure relationship and membership in God's family. You don't have to be a member of Webster Groves Baptist Church to participate in communion with us today. If you claim God's name as Father and Jesus' name as Lord and Savior, then you are welcome to participate in communion with us because you are part of God's family just like we are. Before we partake, let us pray together. God, we recognize the great responsibility, but also the great privilege that we are about to participate in. Your Son came, and we just spent a month preparing for a day that recognizes that. And very soon, Lord, we will spend time thinking about and remembering the actual sacrifice that he made and his final days on the earth. But at this time, Lord, in this very quick, this very brief, this very, very short process, we just say thank you that you sent, that he came, and that relationships were restored. We do this as a sacrificial act, again, recognizing that we are your children and that it is only by your hand, by your calling, by your action, through your love, that we are able to call you Father. We pray that this will be pleasing in your sight. In our Savior, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is from Psalms 29. All of you angels in heaven, honor the glory and power of the Lord. Honor the wonderful name of the Lord, and worship the Lord, most holy and glorious. The voice of the Lord echoes over the oceans. The glorious Lord God thunders above the roar of the raging sea. And his voice is mighty and marvelous. The voice of the Lord destroys the cedar trees. The Lord shatters cedars on Mount Lebanon. God makes Mount Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon's jump like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord makes lightning flash and the desert tremble, and because of the Lord, the desert near Kadesh shivers and shakes. The voice of the Lord makes deer give birth before their time. Forests are stripped of the leaves, and the temple is filled with shouts of praise. The Lord rules on his throne, kings of the flood forever. Pray that our Lord will make us strong and give us peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now we're going to sing hymn 115 out of the hymnal, Worship the Lord. Both verses.
As we come to this time of prayer, I'm grateful to be here. Something unusual happened with the potential weather last week, and the way the calendar fell for my work, I'd actually miss church for a month now. And I've been thinking that's not happened very often where I couldn't go like that. And I'm so grateful that I'm able to be here today, that I'm able to hear praises sung and scripture read, and to hear the love of our God proclaimed. Don't ever want to take that for granted. So that's kind of where that hit me this week when I've been thinking about it, is don't ever assume that you're going to get to experience those things all the time. I want to pray for those that are not here that probably would like to be here. Dolores, Marjorie, Ruth, others recovering. Are there praises or prayer concerns you would like to share with us now? Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful to be in this service, dear Lord, to hear your name proclaimed. We are grateful, dear Lord, for your love and for your concern and understanding. We are grateful, Lord, that you are the great comforter, that you can help us through whatever crisis or dilemma we might be facing. Dear Lord, you are the great physician. We know that you also heal us and provide learning for those that tend to us when we're sick. We ask, Lord, that you will be with us this morning. We'll ask that you will forgive us when we don't do the things we should do that would bring glory to your name. We ask, Lord, that everything that is said and done will help show your love to the world. Forgive us when we failed you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now we're going to sing hymn 66, Day by Day. We'll sing all three verses. Seated.
James 3:13-18. Are any of you wise or sensible? Then show it by living right and by being humble and wise in everything you do. But if your heart is full of bitter jealousy and selfishness, don't brag or lie to cover up the truth. That kind of wisdom doesn't come from above. It is earthly and selfish and comes from the devil himself. Whenever people are jealous or selfish, they cause trouble and do all sorts of cruel things. But the wisdom that comes from above leads us to be pure, friendly, gentle, sensible, kind, helpful, genuine, and sincere. When peacemakers plant seeds of peace, they will harvest justice. This is the word of the Lord.
One thing I forgot to mention this morning when I was making just a few announcements. We are officially on the air, as they would say in my son's generation. Webster Groves Baptist Church has been broadcasting our program, our service on 92.9 FM, KWRH LP, which is the local radio station affiliated with Webster Rock Hill Ministry. So if you or someone else you know is unable to be here on Sunday mornings, our services are broadcast. They're obviously recorded services, but they are broadcast on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. So I am thankful for that opportunity for us to be able to share God's love with the broader community. And again, if you are ever unable to come to service, or if you know someone who would love to hear our services, please recommend that they tune in to 92.9 FM at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. The story is told that one day a kindergarten teacher was helping one of her students put on his cowboy boots. He asked for help, and this teacher, when she saw the process he was going through, she could understand why. Even with him pulling and with her pushing on the boots, the little boy's shoes still did not want to go on. Finally, as the second boot slid up his leg with much forcing and much tugging, the teacher was literally sweating, and she almost cried when the little boy said, "Teacher, the boots are on the wrong foot." And she looked down, and sure enough, the right boot was on the left foot, and the left boot was on the right foot. And she figured out it was not any easier pulling the boots off than it was getting them on. But the teacher was able to keep her cool this time as they struggled to get the right boot on the right foot and the left boot on the left foot. And when the little boy was finally able to stand up, he looked down and said, "These are not my boots." Now, rather than scream in frustration, the teacher held her tongue and she gritted her teeth, and she decided against asking the little boy, "Why didn't you tell me these weren't your boots before we started to put them on?" So again, she helped him with the process of removing the right boot and then removing the left boot. And as she began to look around for what she thought were his boots, the little boy said, "No, I'm supposed to wear those today. Those are my brother's boots, and my mom made me wear them because I couldn't find mine in time." And the teacher, who was almost at her limit for patience that day, she mustered up the grace and the courage to help this little boy put his boots back on one final time. And after a few moments of struggling, she got the right boot on, she got the left boot on, and she helped him put his coat on, and she said to him, "Where are your gloves? Why don't you have gloves on right now?" And he said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." Now, all of us have probably had an experience like that with our own children before, haven't we? Days when it seems like our kids just cannot get it together. And I don't say that disrespectfully to any of our children that are present, but all of us have had that kind of day when it seems like our kids cannot figure out how to do some of the simplest things. And even if you don't have children, even if you are not a parent, you probably have experienced that kind of thing with somebody else's kids, whether it's your niece or your nephew or just a friend's child or a child that you are mentoring. We all have experienced those kinds of mornings. It seems like every time they turn around, every decision they make is not necessarily wise. But this isn't only true of children, is it? Most of us can probably think about an adult who makes decisions like the child in the story. When children make mistakes, we attribute it to their age and their lack of life experience. But what do we chalk it up to when an adult does something baffling, when an adult does something questionable? Typically, we call them unwise or goofy. We give children plenty of leeway when it comes to making decisions. In a sense, we want them to make decisions like that while they are young, or we are okay with them making mistakes because it teaches them valuable lessons that hopefully will make a positive impression on them and shape them in a positive way for their future. But when we become adults, we have higher expectations for people, don't we? We expect that adults will have already made all of their goofy mistakes when they were young, so they can better walk the straight and narrow as they are older. We tend to hold to the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 philosophy, which says, when we were children, we did what? We thought like children. We reasoned as children. We did as children. But when we grew up, or when we grow up, we get rid of our childish ways. We act like wise adults. In a sense, the writer of today's New Testament passage, James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18, which was just read for us, is saying something similar to his readers. The writer holds lofty expectations for them as it relates to how they would show signs that they are wise, that they have wisdom. How they would show signs that they are living the kind of lives that exemplify the traits that God hopes from God's children. Now, before I go too far, I want to acknowledge that it has been several weeks since we looked at anything from the book of James. Before the Christmas season, we made it to James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, but we stopped looking at the book of James to explore the birth of our Savior, which is a wonderful thing. And now that we are past or at the end of the Christmas season, we return to James to explore how we can show in our personal lives how the Savior's birth makes a difference in how we live. How does the Savior's birth, our knowledge, our understanding of the Savior's birth, how does that interact with how we show that we are wise? So, what does it mean to be wise? Reverend Jack Wellman says that wisdom isn't simply intelligence or knowledge or even understanding. It is the ability to use these things to act in such a way that common sense prevails and choices are beneficial and productive. So Reverend Wellman says that wisdom is not just having head knowledge. It is applying that head knowledge in practical ways in everyday life. And I think that James would agree with that definition. James begins this section that was read for us just a few moments ago. He begins that section by asking a very pointed question. He says, are any of you wise? Are any of you sensible? If you are, then show it by living right and by being humble and wise in everything you do. If you think you are smart, prove it. Live in such a way that your wisdom comes through your life. It is clear that James is concerned about a person not just being mentally smart or knowing a certain set of facts, but James is concerned about a person showing that wisdom, that understanding of that fact, those facts, by how they consistently act in life. But what does it mean for a person to show wisdom through their actions, or what does that look like, is the question that some of you may be asking. James frames his response to what he thinks wisdom looks like. He frames it in a negative way initially. He says that a person's heart cannot be filled with jealousy or bitterness towards others. Godly wisdom does not covet what others have or what others experience. Dr. Kathy L. Dawson writes, marketing capitalizes on these attitudes, the attitudes of jealousy and bitterness. We are told by our commercials that we can be happy if we just use a particular toothpaste, or that if we just participate in a particular weight loss remedy. We envy others who appear to embody or have what we want, making over ourselves and our homes in their images. According to the world, I think Dr. Dawson is saying is that, according to the world, wisdom is not found in being happy with what you have, but in trying to get what someone else has. This is a stark contrast to what God hopes for us. The kind of wisdom that comes from God does not seek out what someone else has. It does not lie, James says. It does not cover up the truth. Those kinds of actions, the actions of the attitudes of covetousness or envy and lying, those actions come from the devil, and they go against what God stands for. Dr. A.K. Adams says, belligerence and contentiousness evidence a worldly determination to win, rather than a faithful determination to build up harmony, gentleness, and mercy. Unfortunately, these are the exact signs that show that a person is unwise. How do you know a person is unwise? If they want what somebody else has. If they are not thankful for what God has done for them already. If they are seeking more and more and more. James would say that they are unwise. Dr. Sandra Hack Pulaski writes, false wisdom, James claims, comes from jealousy and selfish ambition. Traits that lead people to believe that they are better than others and that they have nothing to learn from other people. James says that false wisdom never just sits idly by. It never just exists alone in a vacuum. False wisdom leads to actions that hurt the people that exhibit it, including people in the church that exhibit it. Specifically, James says, whenever people are jealous or selfish, they cause trouble and do all sorts of cruel things. False wisdom, wisdom that comes from the world and goes against God's desires, is wisdom that acts in selfish ways and in ways that cause a person to be isolated from others, especially from those they should be working with in order to bring God glory. Dr. Adam says this, the theological value of patience and gentleness are not obvious to the most prominent streams of contemporary culture. Politicians with keen attention to their constituent sympathies outdo one another in adopting bellicose poses towards enemies, and partisans decry compromises that might alienate their core supporters. And we see this every day on essentially every news station on television. But it's not just prevalent to politicians or news media, unfortunately. It happens in the church as well. Dr. Adams continues by saying, church bodies regularly take their conflicts to secular courts without even a trace of self-conscious penitence. For resorting to state power to resolve ecclesiastical problems. Behavior that most congregations take as self-evidently necessary, James condemns as antithetical to heavenly wisdom. The church cannot take our examples of wisdom or how to act or how to live in community from the world. More often than not, when we do that, when we take our wisdom, when we take our cue, when we follow the actions of the world, we are led astray from God's principles. The principles of loving your neighbor as you love yourself, and the principles of sharing your resources freely because God has said so, that God has said that that is a good thing. The principle of believing that when you do share your resources, God will restore whatever it is you have given away because you are being faithful to show God's love. The principles of believing that God will provide more for you than what you have ever given away. The world doesn't believe that, but that is what God's word teaches. We must find wisdom in God's truth and apply what God says and is wise to our lives in strategic ways instead of listening to what the world says. Dr. Pulaski says, true wisdom is open to others. It is pure, it is peaceable, it is gentle, it's willing to yield. Themes from earlier in the book underlie these lines of thinking, she says. False wisdom talks incessantly, but true wisdom listens. False wisdom blathers on about faith, but true wisdom goes quietly about doing faithful acts. Okay, Terrell, you said that James initially frames his thoughts about wisdom in a negative way, but does he get to a point where he frames wisdom in a positive way? Well, yes, he does. He does frame it positively when he says, but the wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom that comes from God, leads us to be pure, friendly, gentle, sensible, kind, helpful, genuine, and sincere. James says, when peacemakers plant seeds of peace, they will harvest justice. Dr. James Boyce says, the true wisdom that comes from above as God's gift is marked by a practical purity that is evidenced in the qualities of peacefulness and gentleness, willingness to yield to the other, mercy, and other good fruits that are devoid of partiality and hypocrisy. Dr. Boyce goes on to say, not surprising, nor a matter of apology, that these qualities sound very much like what common sense would identify as goodness. Because that is the way of wisdom. It is a summation of all that common sense would identify as the marks of wholeness in human relationships. It's the very best of God's gifts and creation. The wisdom that comes from God is not necessarily wisdom that is respected or uplifted in our society. Our society prefers people who speak and act loudly and boldly and assuredly, most of the times without thinking of the consequences or how it affects other people. But that kind of wisdom, that kind of action, seems to go against what James is saying. Dr. Dawson writes, the traits that James mentions are difficult traits to live into. They speak of a life that is not ego-driven, not grasping or envious. In a society that is centered on self-gratification, often at the expense of others, these words sound alien and countercultural. I end this morning with an extended quote that explores the problem we face when we are challenged to follow godly wisdom versus following the wisdom of the world. One of the problems is that following godly wisdom is not sexy. It's not what everybody wants to do. It's not what's exciting. It's not what you get credit for. Following godly wisdom is really simple, but it is also sacrificial. It calls us to take the focus off of ourselves and place the attention on others. Godly wisdom says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do not lie. Do not cheat. Do not try to take advantage of others. Godly wisdom says, share with a smile on your face. Think about others as much as you think about yourself. This is sacrificial. And we have a tough time sacrificing our comfort and our well-being for the sake of someone else. But that is the epitome of godly wisdom. Dr. Mark Douglas, and I will end with this quote. Dr. Mark Douglas writes, true wisdom is not about actions so much as the integration of thought, will, action, and context. Not faith or works, instead faith and works made coherent in wisdom. James's advice on how to live into that wisdom ends up emphasizing the type of ethic, that general revelation of the sort that is like natural law, or the wisdom, the law that comes from one's mother. Be careful whom you spend time with. Watch your tongue. Be kind to others. And this is not exactly earth-shattering stuff. But perhaps this is part of James's wisdom, that a distinctly Christian vision of the world does not remove us from addressing the commonplace obligations that come with everyday life. For James, being heavenly wise doesn't mean disconnecting ourselves from the routines of life, as if we could sunder ourselves from matters that are now beneath us. Instead, it is recognizing that Christian wisdom expresses itself in the routine and mundane matters of living in, but not of, the world. If we could get it into our hearts and our minds to live in the world but not be of it, by actively living according to the principles that God calls wise, or that God says is wisdom, practices and principles like planting seeds of peace and the other attributes that James outlines in this passage, If we were willing to do that on a regular basis, then we in the world could experience the harvest of not only justice, as James says in the end of the passage, but we would harvest so many other benefits that we would not have room to store them. Amen. Let us pray together. God, we thank you for the encouragement that we find in your word, in the words of James. That our hope, that our wisdom, that our example does not come from the world, but that it comes from you. And we acknowledge, Lord, that following the world is sometimes easier. Most of the time it's easier. It's easier to go along with the crowd and do what everyone else is doing or what everyone else expects. We recognize that there is a challenge in living in sacrificial ways as you call us to. But we are committed, Lord, to living, to being wise, to showing wisdom as you would have us. We recognize that we can only do that as you change our hearts and as you change our minds and as you shape us and mold us to be more like you on a daily basis. So we pray that through the movement of your Holy Spirit, through the encouragement that we give to one another, that we would be changed. And that our wisdom would not come from the world, but that it would come from you for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask everyone would please stand as we prepare to leave this place. I offer a benediction that I pray that you would accept. As we prepare to leave this place and to go about life and experience all that the world has for us, I pray that we remember the following. I pray that we would be wise in how we treat each other, not as the world considers wisdom, but as James implies, that we would be wise in showing love, and showing patience, and showing grace as God has shown to us. I pray that we would share all those things with each other for God's glory. Amen.